Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, this is episode 10 of the DesignFootball.com podcast. I am Jay, I am the resident blogger on DesignFootball.com. We've got through a lot of podcasts now and we've dodged the subject of crests. Well, this could go on no longer as it makes up a decent percentage of the website and it is obviously a major part of football design. I'm joined today by Martin Leroy again, who's been on before. He's designed Kilmarnock kits, as you're probably aware, and is a member of the site. Hi, Martin. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Martin, you upload a fair amount of crests to the website, or have done in the past. Would you describe crests as a passion of yours?
I would say it's about equal to shirt design. I do like to sit down and draw myself a crest every so often, yes.
Is that a euphemism? It does sound like a euphemism.
No, it wasn't at all, no. Just get down and draw a crest.
Netflix and chill and draw crests.
Yeah.
Okay. I have actually invited women over to draw crests with me before. They probably thought it was a euphemism. It wasn't. I wanted to draw pictures of badges. Okay, so football crests. Now, last year there were two. This really upped the level of the crests on the website. There were two competitions. I think they were both called Redesign. There was Redesign and then Redesign 2. This time it's personal. And both of them covered, I think they were like knockout tournaments, so it's crest versus crest action. But the standard was so high in these. Have you gone through those? Have you noticed anything in those competitions that caught your eye? Sorry.
First of all, I loved the way that it worked. So I think I'm just going through the tabs just now. Like, they started off as like a group tournament. Certainly one of them, I think, started off as a group tournament. So yeah, there was a group stage and it went through like a knockout process. And I thought that was a great way to do it. I loved the way that they did that. The crests from that first one, the one that I liked the most out of that one, I'm pretty sure it was from that one, was Kieran W90's Genk crest. Yeah, okay. There is. Yeah, the Racing Club Genk crest. I think that was my favourite out of that one. But there's so many in there that they hit them spot on. I thought very good designs in there. Yeah.
Yeah, it was something that we used to have. When the website first started, it obviously crests would be uploaded, and you'd think, yeah, that's great, but it never really seemed viable, so it'd be incredibly intricate. And obviously, we've moved away from that. There was a big thing with Everton a couple of years ago where they released a new crest, and it was truly awful, like such a movement away from the previous crest, and there were petitions against it, so they got rid of it and got something else. But the way they defended that crest was to say that reproduction costs are such that we need to do this, and we need to have a border around the whole crest now because it needs to be mounted onto things. And it turned out it was a lot of it was rubbish, but some of the elements were correct. So you can't have things that are too intricate anymore because of the way you produced it and the cost of producing these things. That's something that's been picked up by the members of the website as well now. So you look at things and it's like this halfway between being an intricate crest, like the like of which you would have seen in the early 19th century, late 19th century and early 20th century, where it was very, very elaborate and sort of modern logo design now, where it's it's simple. Simplicity is the key. So they get that balance right there. And obviously, a Genk crest is always fantastic because they used to be called Winter Slag. Now,
I didn't know that.
Sorry to drop that onto you, but yeah, it's they were once officially known as Winter Slag. So I think it's Genk or it's Ghent. Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's. I think it's.
I
Ghent.
Think are they different? I think they're possibly two different teams. Yeah, I think you're right. There is a Ghent and there is a Genk.
Which one is Winter Slag? Are you?
Oh, I don't know. This is the one that you've just dropped on me. I don't know this one. Hold on. Okay, so I'm about to type into Google Winter Slag.
Let's see what appears.
Right, okay. Winter Slag. Here we go.
I don't like the slut shaming. It's terrible.
Genk. There we go. It's Genk.
It was Genk. I shouldn't have questioned myself. It was Genk all along. So that it's great to have a crest for. I don't know. They should really depict the Winter Slag in the crest. And if that wasn't present, then that's a pity. I take it it's not. It's not part of the crest there, or is it there as a shadow? Is it a bit like the bear on the Toblerone mountain? Is it somehow been integrated in that way?
It's so what is a Winter Slag? I'm having these horrible images in my head of what could possibly be on this crest if there's a Winter Slag on it.
I'll tell you after the podcast what a Winter Slag is my own mind, but we shouldn't talk about
that. Is this
that
something
now.
A bit too much even for the explicit rating on the podcast?
I think every podcast so far has been listed as explicit. One of them
mine wasn't the last one, because then I started listening to some other ones and I was like, oh, he swore, you can't swear. And then I looked at the rest of them and they all had explicit apart from mine. So
didn't swear. Okay, well this
no, we didn't. No,
this one's definitely gonna be listed as explicit. We've talked about Winter Slags. Okay, so yeah, it was a great competition. Were there any other crests that they don't have to have previous names that suggests things of a sexual nature. It's any crest that you liked.
From that competition, hold on, I'm going through. There was one of the earlier ones that I quite liked as well. What have we got there? It's Sportix Shandong. That was quite a good one. That was by... Oh, no, sorry. Sportix was the person who did it. It's Shandong. There we go. I quite like that one, the sort of halved one with the half chevrons across, and I just like the curves of the outline of the shield. I thought that was quite a nice one as well.
Mm. Yeah, it is worth looking at. I think one of the I'm not sure whether the, because they were given a team for each round, weren't they? They didn't necessarily choose a team. They were given a team, and then they needed to design the crest based on that. So in the knockout rounds later, I'm not sure if the quality was as high, but sort of the best people had got to that stage, let's say.
You'd hope that going through that excellent process, it would bring the cream of the crop to the top, yeah.
Mm.
And I think it was. Looking at the later on ones there, I think, generally speaking, I think the quality did improve as you went through the contest, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Did Liverpool crest won it though, I think, didn't it?
It was the Liverpool final. It was Pascal Hugo and Decano got to the final, and I'm going to be a bit mean here. I think the ones that got to the two in the final, I don't think were the best crests in the entire thing, and I don't know if that's just because of the Liverpool crests. It's such an emblem, maybe, that you're so used to that the Liverbirds doing, like, the Liverbird and the Shankly Gates, they've tried to incorporate them, and I think they've ended up just being a little bit too busy, both of them.
Yeah. Well, we have had interesting Liverpool crests on the site before, and this is one of these moments that makes you really, really proud, if that's the right word. There was a thing that the joe.ie website did last year where it was the 20th anniversary of Cantona doing the kung fu kick at Selhurst Park.
I remember that.
And joe.ie did a brilliant thing, and it spread all over the internet. It was fantastic, which was, what would have that night have been like if social media existed? And they did, like, I think, or just Twitter maybe. And it just had all these Twitter people, and it had like current footballers as kids, like, talking about it. And it was really, really good. But there was like, they had like a random Liverpool fan, what the Liverpool fan thought. He was just like, Cantona should just get back to France or whatever. He's a disgrace and a scourge of the English game. And as his little avatar pic was a Liverpool crest, and it was a Liverpool crest from our site. So the people, yeah, so they just got into like Google images and looked for Liverpool crest to put into this article for this random Liverpool fan. And
they just picked it up.
Yeah, they found one of ours. It was a good one. So that was it.
You know, that happens so often. I'm like, when I Google something or I'm trying to find someone's crest, what it looks like at the moment or something, the design football stuff's always quite near the top. It's always in the first page. You always can pick it out.
Yeah, it's the same with kits. And I'm sure it annoys a lot of people now.
I bet it does.
But that's... It changed about 2 years ago. Something, we changed the setup of the website so it was better indexed, I suppose, by Google. And yeah, that has happened now. So you have an alternate reality of kits. So you're looking for kit in 2013-14 Liverpool kit, and you get this. Oh, I don't remember that. We've obviously got these designs off the drawing board, but no, it's yeah, that's not one I remember. Any others that have sort of grabbed your attention from that competition or the later competition?
I think one of the things that stuck out for me from that one was I was wondering what on earth was going on. There was a couple of people who got Bordeaux's their team, and I didn't realise Bordeaux had this biohazard symbol in their crest. Do you know what I mean?
Because
I always associate them with the chevron across the chest, and I think that's what's in the crest at the moment. But then everyone was picking this biohazard symbol. I think, actually, I can see it on the current crest right now. But all I think as a scientist, I'm just thinking, oh, biohazard.
Well,
interesting.
As an Olympique de Marseille fan, they haven't won at Bordeaux for, I think, like 30 or 40 years. So for us, they are biohazards. So it's incredibly fitting. I would imagine it's something sort of... it will be heraldic in some way, I would have thought.
Probably, I would have thought so,
and
yeah.
Maybe connected with the French Revolution and all that kind of Girondin de Bordeaux, I don't know, something like that.
So possibly. I've never looked into the Bordeaux crest. It's not one I've ever drawn, so I'm sure I would know if I'd looked into it. But
yeah. But biohazard, there's no reason why a football club... There's so many football clubs that we could choose that should have a biohazard symbol on their crest. Bordeaux, maybe. The other thing is, there's a lot of crests that I see on the website and I think are fantastic. The other thing that happens sometimes is someone will put a great crest on there, and then you'll suddenly see it appear in... I think it's deliberate, but someone will then put a fancy kit on there. Either the same person or another member will put a fancy kit on the website and use the crest that someone else has put on there.
So yeah, I've seen that happen a few times. It's happened to a couple of Macomarnock ones when people have put Kilmarnock kits up from Macomarnock crests. It's always quite nice. It's like you like it. Excellent. Yeah.
Or you Googled it and it came up in the first one.
Yeah, exactly. So well, that must be the actual one. I will take that and I will put it on. Yeah,
yeah, that's a good thing. One of the ones that's happened to is Steve-O did a Leeds crest years ago, and it was like the rose thing, the white Yorkshire rose, and that was great. And in the middle of the Yorkshire rose, like, what do you call... You're a scientist, you probably know this. What sort of scientist do you have to be? Is this biology or something?
Plants is biology, so I could be out of specialism here, but go on, what's the question?
What's the middle bit in a flower? What do you call that?
I know the bits that are in the middle. I'm sure it's got, like, a name. There's, like, the style, the stigma, the... Anthers, filaments, all those. They're the reproductive organs of the plant. So this is definitely getting X-rated here. We're talking about reproduction now.
It's asexual reproduction, though. It's the one that I practiced, funnily enough. The middle of the flower bit, which so you've listed lots of different parts of that middle bit, but the middle bit as a whole that's coloured, and then the bee comes in and it does something and takes one bit, and is that right? Something like that happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, the bee comes along, takes some pollen, flies off to another plant, drops it on that one.
But that will all end because the bees are almost extinct now.
Well, yeah, this is the problem. So no more food for us, no more crops.
Ah, such a shame. Anyway, that middle part of the flower, Steve-O made it into that 70s Leeds United badge. You remember the LUFC smiley badge thing?
Yeah,
and he made that the centre of the flower, which is just fantastic. So other people have taken that and put it onto the kits, which is great.
Yeah,
good as well.
I found that now. Hopefully you didn't hear me typing too much, but I've quietly typed in Leeds United and I found that on the website. Yeah, that's good, isn't it? And I can see a few people later on have done the exact same thing. They've taken that idea and run with it.
Yeah.
Designers as well, because it's a great idea.
It is a great idea. I think then we may be slipping into that area where it's too intricate for it actually to happen, which is a shame, because that is something that definitely should always be the case. That should remain as part of the crest in the middle there. So that's a really good one. My favourite crest, I don't think, which is always the way, like, oh, you won't have heard my favourite song ever because it's been discontinued, but my favourite crest is no longer on the site, I don't think. It's someone called Rabbi. Now, I'm not sure he is an actual rabbi, but I would love it if he is. A guy called Rabbi uploads to the site, and he's the sort of the crest master, in certainly in terms of how many crests he uploads.
I know exactly who you mean. Yeah, yeah.
So he uploads a whole load, and we had a competition once. It's such a bizarre competition. It was design kits and crests for Dortmund if they won the treble. So if they won the German League and Cup, Bundesliga, and what was the other thing? Pokal or something, the German Cup?
The German Cup, yeah. I know what it looks like. It's Pokal, I think you're right, yeah. Mm.
And the Champions League in the same season, because everyone was thinking Jurgen Klopp's team, well, they were the best team in Europe at the time. That was the thinking behind it. In the end, I think Bayern won the treble that season, and it might have been the season when Dortmund were runners up to them and like lost out to them in everything, probably.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, there was a competition for this. So design a kit for them as treble winners. They've won everything. And design crests for them as well. And there was a crest by Rabbi, which he put up, and it incorporated the three trophies into the crest. It's just the most fantastic thing. If I could find it somewhere, then I'll put it on the notes and you'll see it. If it's not there on the notes, then I couldn't find it. And it's just another example of I liked his earlier stuff and you're just not cool enough to know about it. So sorry
just
about
trying
that.
Trying to be a bit of a hipster here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I tell you what, you're going through like the internet history engine thing that records all the pages that have ever been on the internet, and you're just picking out things that have been taken away and say, yeah, that's my favourite. Yeah, you've never heard of this one, but that's my favourite.
I don't know how that works. I don't know how to use the internet well enough, but if there is a way you could find the cached page that had that crest on it, then that would be fantastic. I reckon I've got it saved on my PC somewhere. If I can find it, it'll be on the notes now. Okay, so those are the competitions. Now, we should probably talk a little bit about real-life crests as well. What crests through history have you been particularly impressed by? What era of crests do you like?
The thing with crest design is, as you're right, it's changed over the years. So there's different styles compared to, like you were saying, the late 19th century compared to now, because they need to achieve different things. I like the old town crests. So the ones that you're talking about that have got the intricate detail, like the mantling and the shield in the middle with the supporters, like how a proper heraldic thing should look. So I like... Oh, what ones have still got that just now? I think Wigan had it just before they changed a few seasons ago to their more modern one. They had still the old one with the supporters. I like their one. I quite like, although I think this is controversial, I think a lot of people don't like it. I like QPR's current logo that they've got just now. I think they're changing it this season, aren't they? They're going into next season. But it's got the nice mantling around the outside. That's the sort of the feathery flowing cloth that comes off the top of it, and I like that. So they've managed to bring that sort of style into a modern crest, and they've done that quite well. And then, you know, that was a sigh if you don't agree with me.
No, I don't. I think that crest is absolute bullshit. And the reason why I think it's bullshit is because it has sprung up from nowhere. Instead of them actually, I don't think it's like an original crest. I think they said to someone, our crest is too modern. It doesn't imply history. So let's create a history, and it doesn't do that. It looks exactly like what's happened, where they've gone, let's pretend that we have like a backstory, when in fact we don't.
You don't. Okay, I agree with you that when people try and make a false history, maybe I just don't know enough about it. Maybe if I knew a little bit more, I'd be in the same boat as you. But it was just the way they'd put it together, I thought it worked. And you remember what you were saying about how they have to apply it to the shirt? They've got this, when it's actually applied to the shirt, it's embroidered onto quite a big patch, and I think that looks quite good as well. But we'll agree to disagree.
Yeah, if it was going back to an old crest, then I wouldn't have a problem with it, but I don't think it is. And it's gone already. It was only about 5 years ago, wasn't it, that it was...
Yeah, it's reasonably bad. It was one of the times they got promoted to the Premiership recently, I think they changed it for, yeah.
What was that about? It just seems such a strange thing. And the whole QPR, the interlocking letters done in the 80s way or the 90s way, whichever way. And the new ones, they gave four options that the fans got to choose between. And they were all pretty good. And the one they chose was really fantastic. And it's like, why did you think that you wanted to take that out to get rid of that part of it? It just, I don't know.
You're right. The old QPR interlocking letters was very iconic. And I think, I do like that crest, but I think they should have stayed with the old one. That's a very strange thing to say. I say I like that crest, but I think they should have stayed with the old one. I think that, yeah. The interlocking letters are good.
It is a strange decision to create a new... to create this new crest, and then people are starting to come to terms with it. Because isn't there a team in Africa that stole it as well? I can't remember who it is, but there is definitely a like-for-like copy of it by one of the big African football African clubs. And that's a little bit tragic as well, that they've... I can imagine them googling like English crests and seeing that one and goes, oh, that one, that's like an original one from the late 19th century, we're going to steal that one. And then they get sued by a big design agency because it's actually only a couple of years old and it's got like massive intellectual property on it. But I don't understand why they'd now say, oh yeah, okay, you know that thing that you hated that now has grown on you, well, we're getting rid of it again and we're having a better thing. Because you could only be happy with the news, but also, what's the point? Why was it so pressing to change the crest again?
I think people, when teams do change crests, people always say, oh, but this has been our crest for years, this has been our crest for years. But if you look back at a lot of clubs who are saying that, they've made even just minor changes once every 5 or 10 years. It does happen, and I think maybe that gets lost in a lot of people. Like, it seems like something has been around for ages, but a lot of the big clubs change their crest quite often. Like, it's very rarely they'll keep them for more than 30 years. They'll change them.
Yeah. Chelsea change theirs quite often, I think, don't they? They've had so many since I started being interested in football in the early 90s, let's say. They've had quite a few examples for, all right, they had their centenary at some point, and there seems to be various other things that have happened. And I don't know whether they're going back to original crests or I don't know. Maybe.
I think for Chelsea, I think the one that they've got at the moment is based on Reginald Crest. I think they did go back properly to history there.
Mm. Okay. The Lion, they had a Lion one with CFC in big letters in the 90s. I think that was a good one.
Nah, but it was good, but it was very 90s. I think what you'll find with crest design is it doesn't seem like it at the time, but the crests can definitely age where they were from. They were of a certain era, and I think that was a good crest, but I think it did need to be changed.
Yeah, Forest keep theirs, though, don't they? Forest don't go back to another one, and they've... That's a very sort of 70s design.
Yeah.
But I suppose it came about in the 70s. I can't imagine it's any older than that, because it certainly doesn't look older than that.
I wouldn't have thought so, no.
But that's... Because they've persisted with it, it's almost as if you can't argue with it now. You can't say that it's dated, because now it is definitive.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think it does look... of that sort of 70s era, but because they've persisted with it for so long, it's sort of become timeless. It's just, it's what you think of when you think of Forest. You think of the tree and the three stripes underneath it. So it kind of loses the style that it's from, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, regarding those three stripes underneath it, and I don't think that's the thinking behind it, but there's a fantasy kit, which I'll pop on the notes as well, which... it's an Adidas. Oh, obviously their kit is made by Adidas at the minute, but this fantasy kit is an Adidas kit. I think it's a fantasy kit. Yeah, it must be. And they've sort of integrated the I think maybe it's a watermark. They've got the crest, and then they've integrated the three Adidas stripes with the three wavy Trent, because it's to depict the
it's
River Trent, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
So they've integrated that with the three Adidas stripes, and that's really clever. And I don't know why they haven't done that. Surely you would do that. If not on the kit, then you'd put it on a bobble hat or something, wouldn't you? You'd have the badge on the front and then the three stripes going all the way around. The
I
bobble
like that.
Hat continuing out. Yeah. Okay. Forest can have that
pending.
For free.
Yeah. Oh, you're giving it for free?
Oh, should I not?
I know. I think you've got to some disclaimer right now to say you're going to take some money from that idea.
Well, so I've got to backtrack, haven't I? Okay, so yeah. If you are interested in using that idea, Adidas or Forest, then contact me. I was only joking about you can have it for free. You probably will have to pay me, but we'll discuss that. And this podcast is dated. We have timestamps and so on. So if you do go and do that, then I probably won't see you because I don't have any money. But please don't do that. So that would be a great hat. Yeah. So, any other crests through history that matter to you?
Well, the Kilmarnock one obviously matters to me. I think I'll probably bring that up when we move on to one of the topics later in the podcast. But I liked the older Kilmarnock crests, but it couldn't exist for reasons we'll talk about. Other crests. I like... Sort of in the same line as the QPR crest. I might get shot down for this being a Kilmarnock supporter, but I like the Rangers interlocking letters as well, the RFC. That's quite nice. It's quite timeless as well, even though it's definitely of a certain era, like the beginning of the 20th century.
Yeah, this is an important thing about crests. So, this is an important thing about crests, which is also going to demonstrate my ignorance, but you have a certain... area on the shirt that you can put a crest into, and yep. How you use that is up to you. So if you put it on a patch and then you have a coloured border on the patch, then that becomes part of the crest. So the crest inside is going to be much smaller because you've decided to use up your area with the coloured border. If you have a white patch on a white shirt and you put the border on this patch as white, then you could have the crest bigger, so the coloured area of the crest you can have. Does this make sense? What I'm saying?
I know what you mean. Yeah, I've looked into this a little bit when I was looking at the Kilmarnock kits and stuff like that, and how big we could make all the sponsors and things like that. So I know what you mean. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, one of the things that Rangers, as you say, Rangers used to have the interlocking letters. They still do.
They still wear them. Yeah.
But they do this thing where they have the stars over the top, I think. And that those stars, if the stars you've decided to put the stars on, then it is part of the crest. So the interlocking letters end up having to be smaller because they've decided to put the stars above. If the stars are given by the league or FIFA or UEFA and that kind of thing, then they're exempt from that. So you can have your crest as big as you want, and then you can have the stars on top as a separate element. And then it doesn't compromise the size of your own crest. So Rangers in the 70s, let's say where they... I shouldn't bring this up all the time, but I think in 1973 they went to Barcelona and they lost the European... maybe they won it, actually. I think they won the European Cup Winners' Cup.
They've definitely won the Cup Winners' Cup. I know that much, yep.
Yeah, I think it was 73, and then they absolutely trashed Barcelona. So that's so ever since then, anyone from Britain, or could be construed as coming from Britain, gets pickpocketed in Barcelona as retaliation for Rangers fans smashing the place up. For that match, they had the big crest because they didn't put any of the crappy stars on it because they hadn't won enough titles to have five stars or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then modern kits, they had Numbro one, which nodded back to that, and they did the same thing again, and they moved the stars down the side of the shirt as a detail down the side, so then those interlocking letters could be much bigger. That's a much better idea than having it small. And Rangers in the 90s as well, I think, maybe put a board around it or a scroll at the bottom, and that wasn't good either. So they've got such a distinctive crest that they should just focus on that, and any other stuff is just faff, really.
Yeah, I think what they've been doing more recently is they have just been concentrating on those interlocking letters. But you're right, in the 90s they had sort of like, it wasn't even just a little scroll, it was like this big wavy three scroll thing that was going around it. And they've also, because they've got two badges, so they've got the interlocking letters, but they've actually got another badge as well with the line in the middle. Yeah. And you know the one, I mean, that sits in the football. And they did they use that? I'm questioning my own thoughts here. I think they've used that in kits in the 90s, but I think the letters are a lot better. But I think one of the more recent kits, maybe this is something to do with the stars, it could have even been that Umbro one. They had the stars on the blue shirt embroidered in blue, possibly to get round that you were talking about. Because remember in that Umbro one, the letters were very big. It was... like, because back in the 70s it would have been a much bigger crest, so they went for the retro big feel. So I think maybe they turned them blue so to get around that rule.
Yeah, and that is something I think, because England have done that as well. They've had the star in the same colour, so I don't know whether it is actually FIFA allow it, or I think they're entitled to wear a star, England, but they haven't always had it. Or they've had it in the same colour as the shirt sometimes, but I think to make the crest bigger. And England took the England legend off the top of the crest so it could look bigger again. And yeah, even Brazil did it for the last World Cup, which I don't know, that maybe that was a bad move. But so they could make their crest bigger, they took the Brazil wording off it, so then it looked better as well. For some of these teams, there's no need. Like England to have the England legend above it, it's just pointless. I don't know why they would ever have had that. It's such a distinctive crest.
Yeah, like, as a Scotsman, I must say, I do like the England crest. It's changed slightly over the years. Like, you're right, they've had England written above it, but then they took it away again. But it's still been the same basic thing, and I'm a little bit jealous of it, because the Scotland badge at the moment seems to change all the time. And when we first went to Adidas recently, they sort of did an interpretation of what it was like in the 60s and 70s, and I thought it was fantastic. And then they went and did a modern version of that one, and it's all... it's a nightmare. They've taken something that was so good, and they've just destroyed it to make it look more modern. Yeah. I wish we could just keep the same thing all the time.
So, the Scotland crest?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... See, this is where there's a difference between someone who has an interest in the club, who is invested in the club or the or the national team and someone who looks from the outside. So I look at that crest, the current one, and I think that's fantastic. I don't understand for one of the kit or the not it's not the current kit, it's the one, the outgoing one. I think they made it one colour, like a monochrome crest.
Yeah, it was silver, I think. Yeah, was the colour they used, yeah.
It was quite a good kit, but they made the crest silver, which worked for that kit, but I don't really understand why they ever do that. I don't like it. But they had done that to it, but I do see from the outside it does look like a really good crest, so that's where we differ. But if you have an idea of the traditions and so on, then you probably look at it and go, well, there's no need for them to do that.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. Like, to that actual crest that we're using isn't a bad crest, but international football, I think's got a bit more of a traditional mysticism about it, where that crest that they had previously to that was just, it was very timeless. It was very, this is what people remember from the glory days of Scottish football, and it stood out. But it was just the fact that they took that crest that a lot of people wanted to return for a few years and just made a modern version of it, so it wasn't timeless anymore. It was of the modern era. And I don't think it is a bad crest. I just think they did the wrong thing implementing it.
Hmm. The other argument is that not many people are going to remember the last time Scotland were on the world stage in a tournament. So that's just cruel. I don't know why I'd do that.
Did you have to say that? But I remember.
Yeah. Okay. You're relatively young, so yeah, if you do remember, then yeah, maybe others would as well. But it's only brief, isn't it? When you're in the tournament, it's like, do you have time to actually digest what kit and crest Scotland will wear before they
probably not. No.
They just go home. Okay. Something we've touched on there is the difference between... I'm not sure with Rangers. They might actually have never worn that other thing. That might be like a corporate logo. I don't remember them ever wearing it on a shirt, but I'm prepared to be proved wrong on that. A lot of teams now, and Liverpool have just gone back to this, is they have a corporate logo and a logo or a crest that is worn on the shirt. So Liverpool now just wear the Liverbird again on the shirt, but they still have that massive multicoloured thing that they brought in for the centenary in 1992, and then they slightly amended it as something going forward. Tottenham and France do this as well, I think, don't they?
Yeah, they do. So certainly the French one, I know the French Federation logo is in that hexagon. I think you talked about it in one of the recent podcasts as the hexagon shape, and it's got this very stylistic cockerel in the middle of it, which I don't think looks great. But when they got that Nike shirt, the dark blue Nike shirt that came out with the very old style cockerel, like it was very detailed in the embroidery, I think that looks absolutely fantastic, that old style one that they brought in. I think a lot of Nike kits that year had that. I think the Dutch might have done something similar. They changed their crest to something a bit older.
Yeah, I don't know what the situation is with France, because they had another logo which was like a blue, white and red FFF thing, which was like a corporate thing, and then they had the crest on the shirt, so they kept the same one. Something that France used to do is the old crest, they would have, it was like an oldie style cockerel, and it had like a base on it, and it had FFF officially, so on the replica shirts it would have FFF, but in each game they would remove the FFF and put the game details in that little rectangle, which used to look quite good.
I like that, yeah.
Now, yeah, like you say, France now have they have like the styled cockerel, which they have worn on Nike shirts. Well, they certainly wore on the last Adidas shirt, and I'm not sure if I think they have worn it on Nike shirts as well.
I think they did. I've got this memory of it being in the hexagon rather than just being embroidered on, and yeah, I'm sure I've seen a picture of it. I'm sure this is true. Yeah. I don't think we're gonna have to backtrack on this one. I'm sure we're both right now.
Okay, and so, but the last shirt that they wore at the last World Cup, so there's a new one being released very soon, and I don't know if it's probably going to come out this week, if not, if it hasn't already been released. they had a very old style crest, like you mentioned, which was great.
Yeah, I think it's something that they'd worn back in the 50s or something like that, and it was. I think the beauty about that one is to see it drawn. Like if someone had drawn it and they put it on Design Football, it might not have looked great, but it was the way that it had been embroidered and you could see the details actually in the cockerel, I thought was very good. It was something that would only work on a shirt rather than on paper.
Mm. Mm. And Tottenham have got something similar as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've come up with this sort of monochrome blue cockerel standing on the football, and I just think, as a modern interpretation of what they've had before, I think that's come out very well. I hope Tottenham fans are very happy with what has come out there, because I really like that.
Mm. Regarding crests and the sort of age of them and whether they can endure for decades or not, there's a strange situation in Scotland at the minute that I wanted to talk to you about. So a lot of the teams, it's not as popular, is it, to change crests in Scotland in general, would you say?
I would say most of the crests that I can think of have been around for as long as I can remember. There's a handful that go against that, but mostly they stay about for a long time.
Right. I mean, Celtic slightly amend it, and for their centenary, they bring in the Celtic cross, and that's slightly different, as they did do, and then they did it for the 125th anniversary as well.
Yeah.
But they've mostly had the four-leaf clover. And because the club name has changed, because now it's like a PLC, I think, and what it used to be was the Celtic Football and Athletic Company, but it was written as COY, which was a great crest. When it used to have that worded around the outside, that was fantastic. but there's something else that's going on in Scotland at the minute, where there's a legal situation about using certain heraldic elements in the crest. Is that right? With some of the smaller teams, is it? Or is it
It's affecting quite big teams and little teams. So the problem that they're having at the moment is, well, the difference between Scotland and England. In England, if you want to make a crest, you can have it look however you want, and if you register it as a trademark, that's you, you're golden. In Scotland, we've got a very old-fashioned style of doing this. We've got a guy called the Lord Lyon, and it's spelt the same way as Leon, the football team, and he's in charge of heraldry in Scotland. Now, if he was to look at a crest and decide that it could be described heraldically, then it needs to be registered with him, and as soon as you can describe something heraldically, it needs to follow certain rules to even go through him and be registered. And a lot of the clubs in Scotland, through the top division right the way down, are having trouble with this at the moment, because they can be described heraldically, but they've got parts in them which they're not allowed to have. So I think the main two ones that are affecting most of the sides are, you're not allowed to have a saltire in your crest, and you're not allowed to have letters within the crest either. And a lot of people are going to fall foul of this. Now, usually, I mean, it's not been a problem. I mean, there's clubs that have had their crests for many, many years, and it's not been brought up, because he will only pursue something if it is brought to him. So I've actually had a conversation with them in the past when I was researching a Kilmarnock logo from, because we've fallen foul of this in the past. So I was doing a bit of research, and he was talking to me, and he was saying, look, I don't go about looking for these, but if they are presented to me, then I have a legal obligation to go and deal with it. And someone in England had complained about Airdrie's logo, Airdrieonians. They just changed their name back from Airdrie United to Airdrieonians, and they wanted to use an old crest, but they tried to register it in England as a trademark, and the trademark office in England made the Lord Lyon aware that this was happening, and it wasn't allowed. So then, because he'd been made aware of it, he had to follow through with telling them to cease and desist using it, and they did, and they had to change it. I think what they did in the end, and I'm not sure if they'll keep this, but I quite like it just as a bit of comedy. They just took the border of the shield away. So now they've got the scrolls down the bottom, and they've got the things that were inside the shield just floating above it, which I quite like. I think it's quite funny. But the story goes that an Airdrie fan who was not best pleased about this reported all the other clubs for it.
And then things start to go wrong.
Yeah, so because it has been brought to the Lord Lyons' attention, he can't really avoid it now. So there's a lot of clubs, I think. There's 42 professional clubs in Scotland. Or sorry, 42 league clubs in Scotland. And about 25 of them could be affected by this.
Okay. So what are the two elements again? The saltire, which is the Scottish flag. So it's the cross of St Andrew?
The cross of St Andrew, yeah. So if you want to have that in your registered heraldic arms, then it needs to be because you are a national corporation or you're nationally important. And Air United, that I'll probably use as an example for most of it, are not nationally important as much as the fans might think otherwise. I'm afraid they're not. So that's where they're going to fall foul of this. And the other one was the letters inside the shape, inside the heraldic arms. You can't have that.
You can't have, sorry, letters?
Letters. You're aware of them? Words?
Inside the heraldic shape. What does that mean then? So if you have a shield and it's got, say that it's divided into four quarters and you have like something, something FC in there, that wouldn't be allowed?
Not allowed, no. So, I mean, these, I think the post of the Lord Lyons was, it came together in an act in the 1500s. So we're not talking about modern things here at all. But one of the rules about heraldry is you can't have words, letters inside your shield. They need to be a scroll underneath or above. You can't have them inside the shape.
Okay, so where are we at the minute? This is bound to affect. We think it's bound to affect several teams. Are we sort of in a limbo situation at the minute? What's going on with it?
It's the issue seems to have died down a little bit now. My theory behind this, and I hope me speaking about it doesn't bring it up again, but the Lord Lyons being made out to be a baddie here by a lot of the fans of the football clubs because he's telling them to do this, and he isn't a baddie. His job is mostly ceremonial, so the fact that he has had brought to his attention 25 or so big, I mean, in terms of like media coverage, big companies, and this is more work than he'd ever wanted to do in his ceremonial role. He usually just goes after golf clubs and stuff who are using it incorrectly to make them seem more prestigious than they are. This isn't something that he wants to deal with, so it's gone quiet. I'd like to think it's been brushed under the carpet so that he doesn't have to deal with it and common sense is prevailing. I really hope that's what's happening, but it has gone quiet lately.
Okay. Because I worry for Air United, because them having to change what they paint onto a woman's breast for the next kit launch would be awful.
Yeah, they do that, don't they?
Scumbags. Yeah, so it is interesting. Maybe that guy could somehow go after QPR a few years ago when they decided to bring out that sort of crest themselves. But yeah, it's an odd one. It's exciting because a load of teams are going to have to get a new crest. But as you say, they seem to be getting round it through looking for loopholes, which that's a sad way of dealing with it, I suppose. But you can understand why they do it.
I mean, it's got the potential, if it does follow through, to be, well, quite an exciting time for crest design. If half a league has to change its crests, that could be quite interesting. But it's something that has happened before in Scotland. I know Rangers, we were talking about that crest that may or may never have been worn on a kit, we're not sure. It used to look slightly different to that, but someone complained about it and they agreed amicably with the Lord Lion to sort of change one or two things so it couldn't be described heraldically anymore, so they could get away with it. Now, Kilmarnock, the team that I support, have had a problem with it in the past, and we have had to change our logo, and we have had to have it registered. So our backstory was that somebody, we don't know who, it's all anonymous, but the Kilmarnock fans will say it was a Rangers fan, because I think it had just happened after Rangers had to change little bits. Our crest was it was the crest of the Clan Boyd, which are the clan that were around Kilmarnock. Now, we just took it and we used it as our crest, and we had done for many, many years, but it got complained about, and because it was an individual case, I think it was pursued, and we had to register a new coat of arms. Now, we made it look as much like the original as possible, but we didn't have a shield in the middle of it. We changed it to a football, and the Adidas Telstar football, which I think's awful because it's going to date now, because you can see exactly when it was made, because that's when the Telstar was popular. But we need to stick with that now because it's described in what's called a certificate of matriculation. So once you register with the Lord Lion, your coat of arms, he gives you a certificate, and it describes it heraldically with all these fancy words in it, how to actually draw it. So wait a second, I'll give you a little quote. I've pulled it up in my computer. It's in one of my many tabs that I've got open. So here we go. So the Kilmarnock crest is per fess argent and azure, a fess checky argent and sable. Above the shield is placed a helm suitable to an incorporation, a sallet proper lined with gules, and mantling azure, doubled argent, on a wreath of liveries is set for crest.
Okay.
So it's a page, it's like an A3 page, because I've actually seen this certificate. It's in the players' lounge at Kilmarnock, or it used to be anyway. And it's a big, like, written in old style, handwritten on, like goat skin. It's very old fashioned.
But the whole thing is interesting because you do see the Telstar football on a lot of crests.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And surely that is a bit dodgy in itself, isn't it?
So it frustrates me so much because the reason I looked into all this, I wanted to change the Kilmarnock badge because we had a couple of anniversaries coming up. And one of the things I wanted to do is I wanted to change that ball to a more old style ball, like the one that's on the Tottenham crest, something like that. In fact, the designs that I came up with are on Design Football, so if you go and type in Martin Leroy, you'll find them somewhere. But the way that the football is actually described is it needs to be black and white. So it doesn't say, and thou must make an Adidas Telstar, but it says it needs to be black and white, and it frustrates me because I wanted it to be like an old brown football, but because it's described as black and white, it causes issues. Like, we'd have to try and register to get it changed.
Well, I don't understand, because I never knew that was an Adidas ball. It was just, like, the 70s ball.
Yeah.
And obviously since then, I've realised that it is an Adidas ball. But it's so ubiquitous that you just think, why isn't Adidas suing all these people who have decided to take their design? Because there's intellectual property there, surely. And people are just putting it on their crest or depicted. Oh, I've got a football summer school that I run in. Here's the logo that I've put up. Oh, right. So Adidas are sponsoring it. Adidas? No. That would be great, but they're not. So it's like,
it could possibly be that something even subliminal, like how, I mean, the big football teams never chased up the people who were making the very obvious fakes, like when you used to go on holiday when you were a kid to Spain, because they were obviously not the real kits, but it sort of advertised them a bit. So perhaps Adidas sort of let it go because you'll see this ball everywhere. And then when you go to a shop, because it's their intellectual property, you will only see the Adidas Telstar. And the kids will say, there's the football that's in the logo. I'll take that, please, Dad. Thank you.
I think that's brilliantly summed up. That seems to be the case. Those shirts are shocking. And you see them on Oxford Street in London now. And I just can't believe that. It's just awful. Why that someone isn't shutting those people down? Because that's not good advertising. Everyone knows who Man United and Chelsea and Liverpool are.
I think they get away with it because it's so bad. That's why it's so bad. that they know that it's not real, and no one can possibly know that they're the real kits, so they just let them away with it.
Mm. There are a couple of teams. I think Lokomotiv Moscow, and there's a French team, I can't remember who it is, but yeah, I can't remember, but that actually have a tango football on the, and that's even more clearly Adidas. Why are they allowed that thing? I want a team to have like the ball from the 2002 World Cup on it or something on their crest that they're still going to have in 60 years.
The gold with the triangle shape, yeah.
Yeah, that would be a good thing for people to have. Okay, so what, we just watch this space on that thing in Scotland then?
I think, yeah, watch this space, and if you don't hear anything about it, I think the sensible thing has happened. It's just going to get brushed under the carpet and the crests will stay, because for someone who just holds a traditional ceremonial role, it's not what you signed up to do. It's a lot of work for a small office.
I can imagine it. I can imagine him like wearing his like big gown and his, I don't know what he wears, and like expected to open up like a new section of a hospital or something.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. Like, because all the fans are like, look how, look at, he's a big pompous twat. Look at these photos of him. And it's just this poor guy who has done his life's work. Like, he used to be a lawyer, and he's been made a lord. It's a ceremonial role for him to retire on. And then people are digging up all these photos of him going, look at him, he's so pompous, he's so establishment, he's trying to destroy our club. And then the poor guy's like, oh, I'm not. I just want to retire and sit in my office and fall asleep.
That does sound quite menacing, though, for someone to say, I don't want to cause you problems, but I have to. As if it's like inbuilt in him. I have no choice but to do this. It is my calling. But it's a shame that is what's happened. There's like a domino effect where someone has got in trouble for it. So then they've gone, oh, okay, well, our rivals have got a similar thing going on. So we'll just report them. And then it knocks on like that. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So recently I chatted with Austin Long about MLS and the football clubs they're in, or football franchises, maybe let's call them. We talked about a lot of the kit releases, but when we spoke to him, a lot of them hadn't come out yet. There's a couple that I wanted to talk to you about. Have you seen the Toronto kit?
So is this like, I did Google this. Is this the Toronto away one, the white one?
Yeah, it's white. The most interesting thing about it is that it could be worn with blue or red shorts. So on the publicity images, the modeling thing, whatever they do, they were wearing it both with red shorts and blue shorts. I don't know why that's good. I don't know why that happens. Do you have any feelings on it?
I would say, I would think that when the home top comes out, the home kit comes out, it's going to have either the blue or red shorts. I think probably the red. I think Toronto play in all red usually. Or do they play with, oh, maybe not, because don't they play with like graphite grey shorts? Oof. Right, okay. Oh. I'm going to completely retract everything I said there. I know nothing about Toronto.
But they stagger that anyway. So I think it's just they stagger, like they have the, generally speaking, they have one kit is released one season and then the other is released the other season. So I expect Toronto released a home kit last season, which they'll carry on into this year. So I don't think it's about interchangeability. I think it's saying either we'll get more use out of this away kit if we have both red shorts and blue shorts. Generally speaking, we love this because interchangeability is like what it should be, and it should be swapped with the home kit, and you should have socks that could be worn with all three kits. And all, this is all great, but I don't know why they've gone, we need two sets of shorts for it.
If it comes along and the home kit doesn't have either of those shorts, then I think that's a bad thing that they've done. Naughty then. Because it's, I mean, so the home top is by and large white. It's got a red band across the top and a little bit of blue, which they're making an absolute huge fuss about. And then the shorts are by and large white. So they're not going to have a colour clash, which is going to mean they're going to have to change their shorts. Surely.
I don't know. So, what we say this is then, is this the home kit or the away kit?
Secondary jersey, it says on the MLS
secondary
website.
Secondary jersey, okay. I don't know, because it's got the red and the blue, it obviously ties in with both pairs of shorts. Watford did this a couple of years ago. They released a home kit with red shorts and black shorts. It might be the season they got promoted, I'm not sure. Which is good, but I don't think that kit had any red on the shirt, maybe, so it didn't tie in with the red shorts. I don't know. It seems like a gimmicky thing rather than for purpose.
I think it is. Because are the MLS, I know they used to be, are they not quite strict on colour clashes? Are they not quite strict on what your shirts can actually be? So it's the same as like the NFL. They've got a dark shirt and a light shirt. So this thing shouldn't really happen. I know,
yeah.
The J-League were very big on it for a while, and I'm sure the MLS are the same.
Okay. Well, it's a thing we noticed anyway, so maybe it's a good thing, maybe it's a bad thing, but it's we're talking about it, which is obviously the most important thing, as always.
I think it's what they plan, because they've made a big thing. You read the promotional spiel that goes along with it, and they're making a big thing about the blue being inside it, so it's worked. We're talking about it.
Yeah. The other kit I noticed that I didn't talk to Austin about was the FC Dallas. I don't think I spoke to him about this. I don't think it had been released at that point. So the new Adidas kits have got stripes down the sides rather than on the sleeves. Now, something that hasn't really happened is the obvious thing of the... It has happened where the team wears the same colour shirt as the shorts, is that the stripes just continue. So it's unbroken between the shirt and the shorts, which is an obvious thing because the shorts always have the stripes down the side.
Yeah.
With FC Dallas, what they've done is put a panel in onto the white shorts, a red panel onto the white shorts, so the white stripes from the shirt can continue unbroken onto the shorts, which I quite like. That's the most interesting thing about that kit for me. Is that a look that you like?
Hold on a second. I'm just finding the pictures of it. I'd only had a picture of the shirt up. All right, okay, we've got it. All right, I see what you mean. I think... Right, okay, so I know you like that carrying on to the shirts, and I think there is a danger of it, though, becoming over the top. Like, just having that element going all the way through the kit, it can just look like you're trying too hard, possibly. But just as my first reactions, because I've just brought that picture up there, it looks okay. It looks pretty good. They've done it quite well. Although all the pictures I'm looking, I'm pretty sure that the stripes are perfectly lined up on the shirts and the shorts, so that might help.
Well, that's good attention to detail. I'm glad that they've done that. It's I was looking at, this is a stupid thing that I, it's just super geeky, but Wales in the early 80s had, I don't know which year, but Wales had like an Arsenal style shirt. So the current Scotland shirt has got the white sleeves, hasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So that is a thing that obviously you're not a fan of. But it's the current Scotland shirt. It doesn't matter. They won't be seen in a tournament. It's not going to be that embarrassing. So the Wales shirt had that design, essentially that exactly, in the early 80s, which was like an Arsenal-esque look, if we look back on it. But at that point, I don't even know that Adidas had the Arsenal contract. I think that Arsenal's kit was still made by Umbro at that point. They went over to Adidas, and they Arsenal didn't have that, what you'd call a raglan sleeve, until much later, like 88, I think, was the first season that they had that. Instead, they had just the sleeves in white. So, really, Wales predates the Arsenal shirt, even though it looks like an Arsenal shirt. So it's only looking back that you view it that way as an Arsenal shirt, because it would have looked very different from an Arsenal shirt at the time. But the reason I bring that up is that on the Scotland kit, on the Wales kit, the shorts had a big panel down the side, one of the first kits that had that big panel, and then you put the white stripes into the red. So similar to these shorts that we're talking about now,
yeah,
for FC Dallas, and it sort of balanced that out. And we haven't seen too much of that this season, so I'm glad that a team has done that. But Scotland haven't done it, have they? Scotland have got, what have they got? Navy shorts are they wearing with that kit? Was it white shorts?
I think they've gone white shorts this kit, yeah. So kind of going against the grain of the whole monocolour thing that seems to be popular at the moment. Because they had the blue shorts before, but I'm sure they've gone for white shorts this time. So it'll be the blue stripes down the side. But yeah, then... carry on.
No, it for me, I think I've probably said this before on this podcast, but I'm still obsessed with it, clearly, is that the shorts should have a blue panel then and the white stripes on it to balance out the fact that it's got the raglan sleeves on the shirt. But I don't know. That's a small point concerning a shirt which is probably pretty unpopular amongst Scotland fans.
It's love or hate. It really is love or hate. The thing with the Scotland kit, though, is so the Dallas one that we're talking about, the panel's there because the shirt's red, the shorts are white. So it's to the continuity of the colour of the stripes. Now, the Scotland top, despite it being of this new Adidas season, they've got the stripes still in the sleeves rather than down the side. So it's on the white sleeves that they've got the dark blue stripes. So on the shorts is white and it's got the dark blue stripes. So there is a continuity there between the two of them. And I think they've done okay with that.
Oh, yeah, that's a fair point. That does tie in there. Yeah, okay. All right, I'll take that point. Yeah, that's another way of looking at it. Okay, good. Staying on MLS for a second, the crests. So how do you feel about, let's say, emerging nations when it comes to... Because with the USA, let's call them re-emerging. But with these modern leagues, so you've got the Chinese league that is blowing up at the minute, J-League, K-League, these are quite... In modern times, these are big leagues. What do you think of the crests in those teams? Is that the style that you like, or is it a pity that they've had to come up with these logos essentially?
The problem that occurs with some of the logos is the people who have designed them, or the brief that's been given by the owners of the clubs, is to make them seem like they've got a history. So it's almost like getting back to this QPR logo that you hated so much. It's a faux history that's trying to be created with these. So I'm trying to like pick out maybe a couple, one in particular. I think the Real Salt Lake one is in a shield and it's got the crown. And I think the whole concept of Real Salt Lake is ridiculous. Because like Royal, it's Spanish for Royal. That's why they're called that. Like Real Madrid and etc. So... when I heard that they were coming up with a MLS team called Real Salt Lake, I just cringed. So I think their logo sort of joins in with that. They've got the crown, so they're emphasising the royal, and it's America.
I suppose I suppose the conclusion is that those sort of crests have their place if they're open and honest about it and say, well, we were formed in the 90s or the 2000s or the 2010s. So that's why our crest looks this way. But if they try to create a backstory, then it's not really going to work out.
No.
Okay. Yeah. So
I think some of the more modern teams, the ones that have been created more recently, like the Vancouver Whitecaps or Impact Montreal, their crests I think are better, But then again, that might be something that ages when they move on, when they become an older team. I think they've done better. Certainly you can see with Houston Dynamo and their crest, just I don't like that crest. And even New England Revolution, like in American sports, I follow the New England teams, so I'm supposed to follow the Revolution, but I think they've probably got the worst crest out of all of them.
I had words with Austin about this, and he sides with you on that, I think. But talking about footballs being integrated into crest, that is the Champions League ball.
It could predate that though, because I'm sure they've almost ripped that logo off from the 94 World Cup style logo. I'm sure they have, like, because I mean, I couldn't tell you when they were founded or when that logo was made, but I'd imagine it'd be a similar era.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's what the World Cup logo looked like. So the Champions League was 92, wasn't it? So
92, 93 was the first season of the Champions League.
So it was probably after that then. So
I think that they did have they did have that logo. They weren't using it as a football straight away, I don't think. I think teams use their own. The home team picked the football in those seasons.
I remember that, because I remember for years sitting thinking the logo is a football with stars on it, and you're not making a ball with stars on it. So the minute that they came out, the first one came out and the stars were black rather than the details they've got now with wherever the final is going to be held. Yeah. I bought that first Champions League football because I was like, that's such an obvious thing. You should have done this years ago.
Yeah, I think maybe they thought it was a little bit corny, but then in the end they just went, people will buy it, so we'll do it. But it is great. I do love the Champions League ball, the star ball. Okay, so we have, as usual, which this is going to become a regular thing. We have a couple of retractions and corrections to make. We did a rugby podcast with Dennis Hurley. I can't remember, episode 7 maybe, and Dennis Hurley was adamant. We had words about it, because I was sure that there would be specific rugby boots and they would be different for different positions on the field of play. And I've been now informed by various people that that is the case, but Dennis was sure that it wasn't. And Dennis is incredibly knowledgeable, and he told me a lot about rugby on that podcast. But he seemed to think that rugby players wore football boots, as in soccer boots, but that doesn't seem to be the case, so apologies for that. They do have rugby-specific boots. Even Kian Healy, who Dennis brought up, I think he wears rugby-specific boots. Do you have any thoughts on this, Martin?
Yeah, so I listened to that one quite recently, because as we record this, this is the most recent one that's been out, so I've just listened to it recently, and I was sitting thinking, I'm sure there's different boots for different positions and different rugby boots. Like, so I knew without a doubt that there were rugby boots. There always has been. Because if you're getting involved in scrums and mauls, then you need to get that traction in the ground. So people who wear those boots have got big, massive metal studs so they can grip the ground. So I knew that. But if you're someone who's not involved with the scrums or the mauls that often, like if you're maybe a fullback or something, then you can get away with football boots, but they're definitely different ones. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's good to know, because most of that podcast, we were saying how football could learn from rugby, and that was like the flip side of it, where it's like, well, they've got to have specific boots for their sport. They've even got specific boots for their sport. So basically, football is behind rugby in most ways, in use of technology, in different. I think different shirts as well. The different players wear different. So I said as well that I'm surprised that different positions on the pitch don't wear different shirts, and I think they do that as well. So
I'm pretty sure they do. The players who are going to be in the scrums and the mauls, they usually wear more padding than the other players. So they'll need. I mean, that just makes a completely different body shape. So I'm sure the high end on pitch kits will vary from position to position. Mm. I'm sure they will.
They know what they're doing in rugby, and we,
yeah, they do.
Football is being run really poorly. There are certain things that football does well, and the traditionalism and retaining the integrity of the shirt colours. They do it quite well in football, which and they're not in rugby because it's just a horrible mess because of all the sponsors and everything else.
Yeah.
But everything else, rugby seems to be ahead of football, and that's not good. Yeah.
They can definitely learn from it. Like, I mean, rugby has evolved very quickly. Like, you were talking about in that podcast how back in 95 they were still wearing kits that seemed like they were from 40 years before. And because I've been alive and I can remember these things, that's been such a strange thing. Football kits haven't really changed that much in that amount of time. But I've got rugby tops, Scotland rugby tops, that were made by Pringle. Like, so the first ever Scotland rugby top to be manufactured by someone who put their manufacturer's label on it was Pringle, who make golf jumpers. And then the one after that was Cotton Traders. Like, cotton. It was just a lump of cotton. So it's changed so much in such a short amount of time that they haven't raced to catch up with football. They've just raced to what technology can provide them with. Mm. And football needs to learn from that.
Yeah, it's a pity. Now, it's interesting that you bring this up, because we don't often talk about leaks on here because for various reasons, and I spoke to John Devlin about it, and he's not a fan of leaks because you don't get to see the shirt in the way the manufacturer would like you to see it. So it's a grainy picture sometimes, which I don't know why any photograph should be grainy today when when your phone in your pocket has a decent camera on it. But anyway, so the pictures aren't great. You don't see it the way it's meant to be presented. It might not be the finished article. It might be a fake and all this. So they're the problems with leaks. The thing with... I've just seen a leak, which is the USA, probably the away shirt, which is black. And one sleeve is red and the other sleeve is blue. Now, we talk about technology. One of my bugbears is that we don't have alternate sleeve base layers yet in football. Now, Nike are also making a big deal of their new base layer range. So I think when we see these new kits being released, we might see for the first time a team-specific and purpose-specific alternate sleeve base layer. I think the new USA away shirt.
I can hear the joy in your voice that this is happening.
Well, it will be the first USA shirt that I buy. I will have to buy the shirt, obviously, to go with the base layer, which I'll certainly be buying. But it will have one red sleeve or one blue sleeve. I'm almost certain of it. Because the last time this happened, and I thought this could be the case, was this season's Birmingham away shirt, which is the German flag thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's got one yellow sleeve and one black sleeve. And I thought, okay, well, they're going to have alternate sleeve base layers to go with this. But they didn't. They just wear black base layers with it. And you could sort of understand that because one of the sleeves is correct, which, all right, so it meets the regulations for that one side, which is, that's the sort of the status quo of the teams like Blackburn. They match on one of the sleeves. And it's also a neutral colour, so it's a lack of colour, let's say. So that's okay. But with the new USA shirt, if you wear a black base layer with it, the main body of the shirt is black, then you're breaking the regulations. You're breaching the regulations, sorry. Because neither sleeve will look like the long sleeve version of the shirt. So it's the short sleeve shirt with base layer is supposed to look like long sleeve shirt, if that makes sense.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so they can't wear a black base layer with it, I don't think, because that will breach regulations. So, and I can't see them wearing a red or a blue base layer with it. That would just look weird. So I think we're going to have it. The Nike are making too much of a big deal of their new base layer range to mess this up again. So,
well, I hope you're not disappointed. I can just see the next podcast starting with you crying because they've released it and they're going to wear like a red base layer with it. I can just, oh.
It can't. It's not going to happen. This is happening. This is. It's on. This is going to happen. We have it. It is here. I can smell it.
You do remember you're talking about football here, and nothing has to make sense. If something's an obvious thing, it doesn't happen. You do know this.
I won't be able to handle it. It'll be too much. If they mess this up again. Oh, okay. Well, that has been lots of fun. I look forward to my base layer. Thank you for talking to me about Crest. There is a competition on the website at the minute, which is a weekly Crest competition. So a new team is picked every week, and then people design fantasy Crest for that team. It's been really good. You'll have seen on Twitter and Facebook that we've been sharing a lot of the designs from that and other Crest designs in the run-up to this podcast being published. So go and check that out. Martin, is there anything you would like me to mention that you're up to at the minute?
I think in the future, like I'm a teacher at the moment, and teaching's going down the pan, so I'm going to do a last-minute attempt to do something interesting with my life, and I'm going to start a YouTube channel soon, but not to do with football. So I'll mention it, but it's got nothing to do with football, but hopefully more details on that soon.
Yeah, well, that does sound good. It's science-y, I believe.
It's going to be about science, yeah. So I'm a science teacher, and, well, I love science. And I love telling people about things, but I don't like paperwork, so hopefully this is the the happy medium.
This is social commentary as well we're doing now. Teaching is going down the pan. That's quite nihilistic, that view.
Yeah, but it is. Definitely is. Seriously.
Oh, I couldn't possibly argue with you. Okay, so if you want to chat to me, I'm J29ers. If you want to message J29ers on Twitter, that is, if you're unaware. If you want to say something to the website, it's Design Football on Twitter. If you want to like us on Facebook, it's designfootball.com. And that's basically it. We'll be talking to someone else about some other things very soon on another podcast, so stay tuned for that. Acast is who we do these podcasts through, so you can subscribe on Acast, you could download the app for phones and that kind of thing, and you will see the notes. So I've talked a lot in this podcast about there being notes. If you want to see the notes and click on the links and all that kind of thing, then you need to listen to this podcast through Acast, and then they'll pop up on the screen as you're listening. Or you could get it on iOS and various other things. But you're already listening to this, so I would hope that you have an idea of how you can listen to a podcast. So thanks very much for listening. We'll speak to you again soon. Thank you very much, Martin.
You're welcome. Cue the funky guitar music.
Here it comes. Okay, that was messy.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.